www.attableeg.com, the reviver of Iman.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ثم قست قلوبكم من بعد ذلك فهي كالحجارة أو أشد قسوة، وإن من الحجارة لما يتفجر منه الأنهار، وإن منها لما يشقق فيخرج منه الماء، وإن منها لما يهبط من خشية الله، وما الله بغافل عما تعملون. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, we live in such a tragic time where a dead cell phone battery has become of more concern than a dead heart, where it has become a priority that I would travel with a power bank to charge my phone, but I would never take adequate measures to charge my iman. I often say, when we travel, if a person is a frequent traveler, then while traveling, we take constant protection of your phone, your passport and your wallet. A traveler, when you sleep and you see people lying at the airport, one hand here, and he's falling off to sleep. My passport's got to be safe, my phone's got to be safe. Imagine if that was our approach to the preservation of our iman. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam said, من أحيا ليلتي العيدين لم يموت قلبه يوم تموت القلوب. The one who will revive the nights preceding the Eids, Allah will save his heart from withering and dying when the hearts of others will wither and die. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah used to say, a believer never fears the death of his soul because he knows that is decreed, that has been ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a believer constantly fears at which point my heart has become dead, where it no longer responds to what is happening around. Muhammad ibn Sirin, a great scholar, Muriq al-Ajali, speaking about Muhammad ibn Sirin, said, مَا رَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا أَفْقَهَ فِي وَرْعِهِ وَلَا أَوْرَعَ فِي فِقْهِهِ مِنْ إِبْنِ سِيرِينَ. I never seen a man who was more conscious of Allah in his verdict, and I never seen a man who had more understanding of fiqh in his piety than Muhammad ibn Sirin. Muhammad ibn Sirin used to say, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرًا. When Allah decrees good for a person, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرًا جَعَلَ لَهُ وَاعِظًا مِّن قَلْبِهِ. Allah revives and activates and stimulates his heart. يَأْمُرُهُ وَيَنْهَاهُ. This heart sends him distress signals if he entertains the thought of evil. This heart motivates him, cajoles him, motivates him and inspires him to good. مَا كَانَ لِأَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ أَنْ يَتَخَلَّفُوا عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَرْغَبُوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. This ayat was revealed in the context of Tabuk. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mobilized the Sahaba and they had traveled and it was a long distance. Allah says it doesn't become and befit the believer that when the Nabi of Allah is out actively in the campaign of Tabuk for people to remain behind, when the heart was active, Abu Khaytama radiallahu anhu comes home. His wife, two wives he had, they had prepared some food in the garden and the orchard. قَدْ رَشَّتْ كُلُّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُمَا عَرِيشَهَا. Sprinkle water. This is lawful, legitimate, permissible wine. Prepared that my husband will come, we'll sit and spend some time. As he's about to enter the orchard, there's a clash of emotion. He says, أَبُو خَيْثَمَ فِي ظِلٍّ بَارِدٍ وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ فِي حَرٍّ شَدِيدٍ مَا هَذَا بِالْإِنصَافِ مَا هَذَا بِالْإِنصَافِ. The Nabi of Allah is in extreme heat, and Abu Khaytama is having time to himself. This is just not on. This is not possible. This is not fair. This is not correct. He doesn't enter the orchard and he leaves out. He excuses himself and immediately he dashes towards the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At a distance, Nabi alayhi salam sees there's dust in the air. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Kun Aba Khaytama. By the looks of it, this is Abu Khaytama. Just then Abu Khaytama comes in and he said, Allah rescued me, O Nabi of Allah. I was supposed to sit at home and be with my family, and this urge just came within me. وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ. When it came to activating the heart and keeping the heart active, Allah makes mention in the 8 juz. I mentioned this and I'll come back to that incident. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ. Whomsoever Allah wishes to guide, يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Allah opens his bosom. Allah inspires his bosom. Allah grants him contentment. Allah grants him ease. One scholar sat in the company of his mentor for many years. After leaving, his mentor asked him, what was the benefit? He said, prior to coming here, I had reservations and apprehensions on certain orders of Allah. But now with the grace of Allah, I truly and totally understand and comprehend the wisdom and the beauty of Allah in every order of His. I don't have any apprehension or reservation in anything. Aktham bin Sayfi radiallahu anhu said, I had accepted Islam, but there was a degree of still reservation in me. And then when I heard the verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. When we hear that verse, what we know? The khutbah is over. Time to get up. The ulama say that is the most comprehensive verse of the whole Quran. Sayyidina Umar was traveling by night and there was another group. When we meet, what is it? How's the road ahead? Are they trapping? What's the score like? What's the climate like? Where are you off to? When the groups of Sahaba met, the discussion was Deen and Quran. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is traveling and then he sees that there's a group. So he tells somebody, call out to them. So somebody from the group screams out, Min aina antum? From where are you people? So someone from that group replies, Min al-fajjil amiq? We from a distant land. Aina turidun? Where are you heading to? He said, Al-bayt al-atiq? We heading to the Kaaba. So Sayyidina Umar said, Quiz them. It's dark. They don't know who. Just seen some Muslims and he started talking. Quiz them. So he asked them the next question, Ayyul Qur'ani ahkam? Which verse of the Quran is most comprehensive? So somebody replied from there, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ أَيُّ الْقُرْآنِ أَعْظَمُ. Okay, ask them second question, which is the greatest verse of the Quran? So a person replies from there, اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّمُ. Sayyidina Umar says, ask them the third question, أَيُّ الْقُرْآنِ أَخْوَفُ. Which verse of the Quran instills the greatest fear? So he responds by saying, مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيِّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Some of the people of the book said, our prophet was Musa, we came before you, so our Jannat is confirmed. Some of the Sahaba responded by saying, our Nabi came last, but he's the greatest of Nabi. So we are satisfied, our Jannat is confirmed. So Allah replied by saying, لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيِّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. It's not sheer thought or fantasy or aspiration that is going to secure your entry into Jannah. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ. Whoever does any evil, he will be subjected to the retribution. Sahaba say, this ayah was extremely challenging upon us. Because in that ayah, su'an is nakira. In Arabic, it means indefinite. Which means any crime, any offense, any sin that you perpetrate. This ayah and the ayah, وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. In which Allah says, whether you perpetrate an action or you conceal a haram fantasy, you would be taken to task for both. Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, this is extremely difficult. We can restrict our actions, but how do we manage our thoughts? How do we manage our thoughts? And Nabi alayhi salam said, just accept it. And they accepted, and Allah revealed the verse, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. That Allah doesn't task you beyond your ability, in which Allah abrogated the sin and the crime for an unintentional, inadvertent thought that creeps in the mind. So anyway, he replies, مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَبِهِ. Then he says, ask him, أَيُّ الْقُرْآنِ أَرْجَى. Which verse of the Quran gives the greatest hope? So somebody responds from there, and he says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say unto my servants who have wronged themselves, who have opposed, who have transgressed. The famous incident of that woman, it's recorded in the books of hadith as Imra'atu Abi Huraira, the woman pertaining to Abu Huraira. A woman came to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and she said that I have committed a crime of zina. I conceived, the child was born, and then I also killed the child to conceive my crime, to conceal my crime. Is there any hope for me for tawbah? Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, no, your crime is gruesome. Your offense is grave. Your situation is severe. I don't see any niche or any opening. She stood up and she says, أَخُلِقَ هَذَا الْحُسْنُ لِلنَّارِ. Woe be to me, is this beauty going to go to hell? Sayyidina Abu Huraira said, I don't know, sister, but I can tell you for what you've done, I don't really see any hope. Anyway, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, then I met the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bounced it off him. I said, oh Nabi of Allah, sister came, she said she committed so many crimes. She asked me any hope. I said, it's looking very slim, and the chances are looking very, very bleak. Nabi alayhi salam said, no, oh Abu Huraira, but did you not read the verse? إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. This is hope for every one of us. And that is the beauty of our deen. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابْ, the one who repents from a life of sin. The one who repents. But tawbah, my brother, is not what you attach behind your car and you put a caravan on it. That's a tawbah, not tawbah. Tawbah is, you return to Allah. I was in Canada now for a conference, and there was a sheikh who was speaking there, and it really hit my heart. He said, a sister phoned me, and she said, Sheikh, I'm feeling distant from my Creator. I'm feeling far from Allah. So he said, I replied to her, and I said, sister, who moved? Who moved? And what does tawbah mean? Tawbah literally means come back. Come back. You moved. Allah doesn't move. Of course, Allah is free from location. We don't restrict. Allah is wara'ul wara', as we say, لا تدركه الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار. But what is tawbah? The ulama say tawbah is وعلى الثلاثة الذين خلفوا حتى إذا ضاقت عليهم الأرض بما رحبت. Those three sahaba, there were 10 that didn't participate in Tabuk. 7 came and tied themselves to the pillar. وآخرون اعترفوا بذنوبهم, whom Allah speaks about in that verse. But 3 of them, their tawbah was put on hold, and then Allah accepts their tawbah. But Allah says ضاقت عليهم أنفسهم, they fell narrowed within themselves. Abu Bakr al-Warraq says, Al-aslu fi tawbah an tadhiqa ala ta'ib al-ard bima rahubat. Tawbah is that when you've sinned, you lose excitement in eating. Because you know you have transgressed your Allah. You have rebelled against your Allah. You have committed. The other day a brother came to me and says, you know, I've taken an interest dealing. And then after that I read the consequences. Wallah, I am so restless. I'm fearing that Allah is going to strike at any time. I said, that is iman, my brother. That is iman. إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ وَسَاءَتْكَ سَيِّئَتُكَ فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٌ. When you bow to Allah, you obey Allah, and it gives you a sense of jubilation, excitement, and spiritual ecstasy. And when you disobey Allah, it leaves you restless, anxious, uneasy, distraught, depressed, and you are feeling miserable. And that is a sign of iman. That is a sign of iman. When the discussion happened, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Nadihim afikum Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The way you've responded, you've given it away. There could only be Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in that group of people to answer so swiftly. Nobody else could answer. Nobody else. So we say, my brother, we're living in a time where the dead phone battery, has become of more concern than a dead heart. The heart is dead, it doesn't bother us. Allah speaks about in the incident that I recited in Bani Israel, there was a murder that had taken place, and people were passionate to identify the murderer. So many things had happened, and that also, if you read in Mishkat, in Mirkat, the Sharah of Mishkat, it's written that the murder that had occurred was motivated by some wealth. Somebody wanted to inherit some wealth, so he killed a relative. Some mention that, and some say it was connected to some marriage scandal. Be it as it may, a person was killed, and everybody was now, who's the murderer, who's the murderer? So they came to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and they asked Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, "Oh Musa, please ask Allah if you can reveal and divulge to us who the murderer is." So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah, and the tale goes in great detail, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that slaughter a cow, and then take a piece of flesh from the dead cow, and strike it on the dead man, and then he will stand up, and he will own up and say, "Listen, so and so kill me," and then he will return back to his state in which he had passed away, and that's it. But we know that unfortunately they did not oblige and comply, and they kept on making different conditions, describe the nature of the cow, and describe the color of the cow, and describe the temperament of the cow. And this was also the planning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This also mentioned in the tafsir, that as they kept on asking, Sayyidina Musa asked Allah, and said it must be a cow that is young, middle age. عَوَانٌ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ عَوَانٌ بَيْنَ فَفْعَلُوا فَفْعَلُوا. But don't ask too much, do what you told. Do what you told. Today, unfortunately, that is what we've lost. Hakimul Ummah, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah, used to say, "I never allow my emotion to override my logic, and I never allow my logic to override Sharia." I never allow my emotion to override my logic, and I never allow my logic to override the Sharia. Sharia is supreme. Sharia is ultimate. The order of Allah is supreme. Sayyidina Umar, the intellectual giant, he comes and has a discussion with the black stone. Today our youth want to analyze everything through the logical eye. Everything through the logical eye, and it's not like our Sharia doesn't have an explanation. Iyas bin Muawiyah was a great tabi'i. He was attending a non-Muslim school. So one non-Muslim one day, you know, quizzed him and said, "Your religion doesn't make too much sense. You say alcohol is forbidden." Says, "Yes." If you read Iyas bin Muawiyah, was a great tabi'i. He was a great tabi'i. Once during the time of Anas radiallahu anhu, Anas was one of the last sahaba who remained. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, during the sighting of the moon, he claimed that the moon was sighted, and nobody else had seen the moon. Now you have one sahabi on one side, and besides a sahabi, nobody else. Obviously, the testimony of a sahabi is far more superior than the collective testimony of the entire world. Someone asked Imam Shafi rahimahullah, "Was Umar ibn Abdul Aziz more great, or Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu?" And Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, his entire life cannot be equal to the dust in the nostrils of the horse of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And we know Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was such a great man that in his time, it's in Tafsir al-Kabir, the wolf and the sheep used to drink water from a common well. He was the second Umar. He was a man altogether. And one of his great things was his son, Abdul Malik. When he just assumed Khilafah after he had buried the previous Khalifa, so he put a butler at the door and he said, "Please, nobody to come in now. I need to just have some rest, gather my thoughts, and then after Zohar we will, you know, commence whatever needs to happen." No inaugural bash, no sworn into office, nothing lavish. So he barely gets to bed and there's a knock on the door. So who's it? It's his son, Abdul Malik. "Can I have a word with my dad?" "Okay, your dad's put some restrictions. If you can just respect his time, he's having a bit of a break and a breather." So then they say that it's your son. He said, "Tell my son, at Zuhr I will be up, and then I will address his concern and the concerns of everyone." So Abdul Malik says, "Okay, tell my father, he's coming to Khilafah, he has a responsibility now. He says he will start addressing the injustices of the previous Khalifa and whatever discrepancies and disparities there were, and he will start after Zuhr. What's the guarantee he will live from now till Zuhr?" That's all. So when this was communicated to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, فَأَطَارَتِ النَّوْمَ مِنْ بَيْنِ عَيْنَيْهِ, they say that was the thing that jolted him and then took sleep out of his eyes for his entire period of Khilafat. And then he stood up and he hugged his son and he said, "Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَخْرَجَ مِنْ صُلْبِي مَنْ يُعِينُنِي عَلَى دِينِي." I'm grateful to Allah who has created from my back. I'm grateful to Allah that He has created from my loin such children that if I deviate, they put me back on the track. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was standing on the mimbar. He said, people, if you see me going astray, what you will do? So one sahabi stood up, he said, we'll straighten you with the same sword with which you straighten us. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Alhamdulillah, alladhi ja'ala fi ummati Muhammad, man yuqawwimu i'wijaj Umar bi sayfi Umar. All praise belongs to Allah who has created people in this ummah that will straighten Umar if he slips from the path with the very sword of Umar. So anyway, long story short, Allah, Sayyidina Umar comes to the black stone. And what does he tell the stone? Inni a'lamu annaka hajar. You're a stone. Ma tanfa' wa la tadur. You cannot benefit, you cannot harm. Lawla anni ra'aytu Rasulallahi yuqabbiluka ma qabbaltuk. But Umar, the Nabi of Allah, had put his blessed lips here. Surrender your logic. Drop your logic. And conform with divine teachings. And in that Allah has kept our salvation, my brothers. A youth has this constant feeling of rebelling and challenging. That is why Imam Ahmad says, حدثني هيثم قال حدثني إسماعيل بن عياش عن عبد الرحمن بن عدي البهراني أن يزيد بن ميسرة أنه قال إن الله تعالى يقول أيها الشاب التارك شهوته لي المتبذل شبابه من أجلي أنت عندي كبعض ملائكتي. Imam Ahmad said that I heard from Haytham, who said I heard from Ismail ibn Ayash, who said I heard from Rahman ibn Adi al-Bahrani, who said I heard from Yazid ibn Maysara. And Yazid ibn Maysara used to say that Allah addresses a young man in his youth. And what does Allah say to a young man in his youth? Oh young man, who's brimming with youth, just manage yourself. Control yourself. Regulate yourself. And then yourself and my malaika will be on the same level in my eyes. The people of the Kahf, the ulama mentioned something very amazing. Those youth we heard about, we read about, we discussed about. When they seen shirk and polytheism and kufr taking place, and they realized that they do not want to associate with the wrong that is happening. So they sat down and they had a mashwara. The Quran speaks about it. And they discuss amongst themselves. إِذْ أَوَلْ فِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةٌ وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. Their virtue was that they moved away from evil and they didn't go and make ibadat in the cave. They went to sleep. Wallahi, if a young man on the night of sin comes away to the masjid and sleeps, comes away in the path of Allah and sleeps, he does his basic, does his mandatory actions. The narration is in Mishkat. A sahabi came in. He asked Nabi alayhi salam, a villager, because they were, and that was the beauty of Nabi alayhi salam. Anybody could reach out to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam on any level. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sitting and a villager comes in. Ayyukum ibn Abdul Muttalib. Who's the son of Abdul Muttalib? Yeah. So sahaba said, هذا الرجل الأبيض المتكي. It is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, is this the man? He said, yes. He tells Nabi alayhi salam, inni sa'ilun. I'm going to ask you some question. Wa mushaddidun alayk. And I might be stern in my tone, but that's me. Don't feel offended. That's how I talk. Nabi alayhi salam said, sal amma badalak. Go ask me. Allahu amaraka an nusalli hadhihi salawat. This five prayer. Has Allah told you that we should perform it? Nabi salam said, of course. Tell me this fasting, is this divine, mandatory, compulsory, obligatory? Absolutely. This zakat, is this compulsory, it's part of the tenets? Absolutely. Okay. La azidu ala hadha wa la anqus. I'm going to take the basics and I'm leaving. I'm not going to add to it, I'm not going to decrease. I'm going to stick to the basics and he walks out. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? Aflaha ar-rajulu in sadaq. If the man honors his contract, Jannat is his. If the man honors his contract, he is successful if he is honest in what he says. If you withdraw from sin, my brother, and that's what the Quran says, that don't sit in a gathering where sin is taking place, where vice is taking place, where haram is taking place. And if you sit there and you slip up, وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ شَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانُ فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. When you recall and you register that the type of discussion that is happening here, this is haram. This is haram. This is not what I'm supposed to be doing. When the Sahaba were going in Tabuk, sometimes we sit, we casual, and we just chit-chatting, and we don't realize the catastrophic consequences of this. Allah speaks about three evils that destroyed the infidels of Makkah. Allah makes mention of it in Surah Mu'minun. Three things amongst other evils. Number one, they were proud and arrogant on the good that they did. The ulama say the pride over virtue is worse than the pride over wealth. Mutarrif ibn Abdullah used to say, I will prefer missing my tahajjud daily and getting up regretting than performing tahajjud daily and getting up arrogant that I performed. لَأَنْ أَبِيتَ نَائِمًا وَأُصْبِحَ نَادِمًا أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَبِيتَ قَائِمًا وَأُصْبِحُ مُعْجِبًا. It's in Babul Ujb, in Tanbihul Ghafilin. One person in Babul Ujb is mentioned, he worshipped Allah for 60 years. عَبَدَ اللَّهَ سِتِّينَ سَنَا in the previous nations. And then he made dua to Allah, and for whatever reason his dua was not accepted. So then he told himself, he had a discussion with himself. In psychology they talk of auto-suggestion, talking to yourself. So he told himself, if you were as pious as you think, if you were as pious as you think, your dua would have been accepted. I think you're overrating yourself. You're overrating yourself. See, the ulama mentioned, brothers, whatever Allah is putting, I'm just going to share it with you. It's for our all, for the guidance of every one of us. Often our trouser dangles below our ankle. And we take solace from the fact that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's trouser occasionally, inadvertently used to dangle below his ankle. That's in the hadith. And he said, O Nabi of Allah, my trouser drops. Nabi alayhi salam said, إِنَّكَ لَسْتَ مِمَّنْ يَفْعَلُهُ خُيَلَىٰ. Abu Bakr, you're not amongst those who do it out of pride. But the ulama say there's a big difference. Nabi alayhi salam is telling Abu Bakr, you don't have pride. I'm telling myself, I don't have pride. I'm exempting myself. So he said, you overrated yourself. You overrated yourself. And in that, he addressed himself and he deflated his ego. Allah sent wahi to the Nabi of that time that tell the servant of mine, this one moment in which he deflated himself, he annihilated himself, has surpassed his 60 years of ibadat. Why? The ulama say, because ibadat is servitude. You drop yourself right down. The most honorable organ in the body is the forehead. And you put that on the ground. I've been mentioning this in my talks, and many people have been saying that it resonates with them. Last year we were in Albania and we went to visit one orphanage. So when we got into that orphanage, visited some madrasas and one orphanage, there were some young girls, some young boys. And then they said, would one of you speak, please speak to the shuyukh and the ulama that have come. So a girl stood up and she said, I will speak in broken English. And wallahi, it gives me a shiver every time I say this and every time I reflect over it. She said, I'm 4 years old, my father died. No father. My mother very sick. Dialysis. You know dialysis? I say, yes sister, I know dialysis. Communism. No Islam. No Islam. When we say no Islam, it's to the extent I met a 90-year-old man. I said, okay, how you people used to perform Jummah? He said, never mind Jummah. We couldn't bury our deceased Islamically. We had to bury them at 12 at night. And if we buried them during the day, then immediately the next day our house was bulldozed. And he said, before communism, he said, this place where we were in Al-Basan was known as the Medina of Albania. She said, then they open up this madrasa, so I come here and I start learning Quran. My best moment in my whole day, when I come, I pray, I put my head on the floor, and I speak to Allah, my best moment. I looked around, there wasn't a dry eye. A 14-year-old girl, sajda, made me tear that I don't know in my life if I ever had that sajda. When Nabi alayhi salam was in sajda, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى. Did you see this arrogant Abu Jahl who is stopping my Nabi from making sajda? Let him come close and see what would happen to him. One day Nabi alayhi salam was in sajda, and then Abu Jahl advanced. And as he advanced, suddenly he decides to withdraw and retreat. So someone asked him, why you withdrew? He said, Baini wa baynahu khandaq. When I got close, I seen the trenches of fire. Nabi alayhi salam said, if he had to inch any closer, the angels would have separated his entire anatomy. Abu Jahl mocked. When the verses were revealed, عَلَيْهَا تِسْعَةَ عَشَرْ in Surah Muddathir, that there are 19 angels in charge of Jahannam. Allah says 19. Allah didn't say 20. And Allah said, I have made the number of the angels of Jahannam 19. Specifically 19 to test you. Because your mind is going to say, why 19 and not 20? وَمَا جَعَلْنَا أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ إِلَّا مَلَائِكَ وَمَا جَعَلْنَا عِدَّتَهُمْ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً. We made it 19 in Tafsir Azizi. There's the wisdom written why the angels of Jahannam would be 19. Abu Jahl said, 19, I will deal with them. He said, I'll drop 17. Then he told one of his other friends, you take care of two, we'll hold them all and we'll let everyone go straight to Jannah. Allah revealed the verse, O foolish man, you're not talking of humans. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ إِلَّا مَلَائِكَ. These are angels. One angel is adequate to wipe out the earth. Haman in his arrogance, Fir'aun in his arrogance told Haman, in the 20th juz Allah makes mention, يَا هَامَانُ بْنِ لِي صَرْحَا. Oh Haman, just build me a palace. لَعَلِّي أَطَّلِعُ إِلَى إِلَهِ مُوسَى. Let me put up a high palace. I just want to get right on the top. And let me see if I can meet with the Lord of Musa. وَإِنِّي لَأَذُنُّهُ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. By the looks of it, you know what? He's just pulling a farce here, but I don't think. But anyway, build it. In the footnotes of Jalalain under this ayah is written, Fir'aun then employed 50,000 workers. And then they put up this great monument and this great building. And Allah sends Jibreel. And Allah told Jibreel, as you pass in by, just nudge it. You know, by mistake, you dropped that Lego. And the child is building it for the last week and completely wiped out. It's mentioned in the tafsir when the nation of Lut was lifted up, then the crying of the creatures were heard by the malaika in the heavens. This was the height to which they were raised. So anyway, I was saying that three things Allah speaks about the people of Makkah, that was their sore point. One was their arrogance in their virtue. May Allah grant us humility. Nobody is anchored in any position, my brother. Nobody has a firm position. No way. One person is mentioned in Ma'riful Quran. He was a great scholar. He had this great noor on his face. He went for Hajj, and when he came back, people were excited to say that when he'll return, the effulgence will be so much greater. But ironically, when he returned, there was nothing left. So he went to his mentor and he said, what's the reason behind this? He said, before you went for Hajj, you were humble and you were conscious and cognizant of your wrong. When you came back, you have a holier than thou attitude, and that has destroyed whatever nur you were ought to acquire and whatever you had acquired before. So the kuffar of Makkah, they were custodians of the Kaaba. They were custodians of the Kaaba. And they were engaged in the service of the Kaaba. Allah said, Mustakbirina bihi. Mustakbirina bihi. They became very arrogant. They said, no, we don't need to do anything else. What other good I need to do? I'm seen to the Kaaba. I'm engaged in the Kaaba. And one narration also regarding certain Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they had a little discussion. Abbas radiallahu anhu said, I give water to the pilgrims. Someone else said, I do this for the Kaaba. Sayyidina Ali was sitting close by. He said, I don't know what's the discussion all about. I brought Iman. I accepted the message of Nabi alayhi salam. And I participated in all the campaigns. The narration is Ibn Kathir. In Surah Bara'ah, Allah speaks about it. At the time of Jummah Salah, Sayyidina Umar said, stop the shuffle. After Jummah, we'll speak to Nabi alayhi salam. I mean, can you imagine that gathering? Can you imagine that gathering? You're discussing, okay, just wait. There's the Nabi of Allah coming. There's the Nabi of Allah coming. A sahabi walks in, oh Nabi of Allah, you know what, I was at home in my shop, and then a woman walked in, and then I felt a desire within me, and unfortunately I couldn't contain myself. She asked me for some dates. I told her, come in, and I fell on her, and I did everything besides the actual act, but I touched her, and I came close up to her, and obviously my guilt is bothering me. Is there any hope for me? Sahaba said, he posed the question, the iqama was called out, the salah was performed. After Salah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, where's the person who was asking the question? He said, there's he, bring him forward. Nabi Alayhi Salaam read the verse, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Tell them to offer prayer, and that's the beauty. Tell them to offer salah in the morning and in the evening, and tell them to follow an evil by a good action. The good action will wipe out, it will clear and erase the ill effect. Innal hasanati. As soon as the concession came, a sahabi stood up. O Nabi of Allah, is this exclusively for him or for all of us? Nabi alayhi salam said, no, the concession is for everyone. Sahaba were open, my brother. I was mentioning that and I slipped up from completing that ayah. Illa man taba wa amana wa amila. The ulama say that Allah says, when you repent and you bring iman and you do good actions, Allah will convert your vice into virtue. Understand this, my young brothers. One pious person went to a scholar and he said, I know you're very pious and you're very learned, but I'm hopeful that in the eyes of Allah, I will be closer to Allah on the day of Qiyamah than you. He said, lovely, good, no problem, but what makes you say this? He says, because I led a life of sin and I made tawbah. So I'm optimistic that Allah will convert my vice into virtue, and I doubt your virtue can be as much as my vice. I doubt your virtue can be as much as my vice. Ibn Kathir has written something so amazing. There's like many explanations to this ayah. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ. Allah will convert. Some say it means metaphorical, not literal. That means Allah will wipe out his evil, give him the ability to do good. But Ibn Kathir says, and it's a basic rule of tafsir, that when you can translate an ayah literally, you don't migrate to a metaphorical interpretation. He says, Allah will literally convert your vice into virtue. And he says, why? He says, when a person repents, then if Monday nights he was not going for gush and going in the path of Allah, he was going to meet a haram girl or do something wrong, every Monday he will have a renewed regret. So for the rest of his life, when he'll pass that venue, tears will trickle down his eyes. For the rest of his life, when he will see that person, it will bring back those memories of sin. So every reflection and every passing of that venue will renew his regret, which will renew his tawbah, and hence that vice will be converted into virtue. Mustakbirina bihi. That was the first thing. Pride over what they did. Sahaba were sitting, Jummah Salah, as I mentioned, Sahaba were open. In the initial stages in Islam, when you fell off to sleep in Ramadan, then your fast started. So when you came home, and after sunset, you can eat, you can meet with your spouse, but once your eyes close, that's it, the next fast started. Now you can't get up in the night and have relation, the fast has started, this was the initial injunction. Few sahaba came home, they were tired, they were exhausted, they fell off to sleep. When they got up, they had the need of meeting with their spouse. They met with their partner and then they realized that, oops, our eyes closed and then we got up, and now we've been close with our partner and the next fast has commenced. So a sahabi comes up, O Nabi of Allah, this is what has happened to me. And just when he says, another sahabi comes and he says, O Nabi of Allah, this is what has happened to me. And Sayyidina Umar comes back and he says, O Nabi of Allah, this happened to me as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the verse, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَىٰ نِسَائِكُمْ هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ أَنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَخْتَانُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ. That this ummah, Allah blessed it so much that even in its slip up, Allah created concession for the ummah. Allah created an opening for the ummah. Anyway, just to move on one, two things. For our youth, the second thing that happens regarding the kuffar of Makkah, one was Allah said that they were proud on the good that they did. We can never have pride. It destroys whatever we have. One pious person said, I believe every man to be better than me. Why? لِأَنَّنِي عَلَى نَفْسِي مِنْ يَقِينٍ وَعَلَى النَّاسِ مِنْ شَكٍّ. Because I think he sins, and I know I sin. He's a human, so I think he sins. He's a mortal, he's not an angel, so I assume he sins. But I don't think I sin, I know I sin. I don't think I sin, I know I sin. The second thing, and that's more relevant to our youth, our time has been wasted. Allah says, three things destroyed them. The second was Samir. Samir in Arabic was moonlit night. It was customary amongst the Arabs to sit outside and just sit and talk. Just kill time. Time is, how many youth or how many people would sit outside the masjid, not attend the ta'lim that is taking place in the masjid, and just talk casual, the ta'lim will take place. Whatever fikr needs to be taken would be taken place. Whatever jamaats need to be dispatched would be dispatched. Whichever sick brothers need to be listed would be listed. And you come out, those brothers are still sitting there. We're not saying we should not engage recreational or lightheartedness or friendly or social discussions. That is there. Somebody asked Wahab ibn Munabbih, Akana ashabu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yadhakun. He said, did the sahaba have laughter? He said, yeah, they laughed. But their iman was more stronger than mountains. So if you have that iman, then probably it's fine for you to have the odd laughter. It's fine for you to have the odd laughter. So the second illness that had paralyzed them was just sitting extended and wasting time. And when you sit and have these discussions, tahjurun, that's the inevitable third malady that's going to grip you and plague you, is where you start blurting nonsense. Instead of giving dawat on the greatness of Allah, you're speaking of anything else and everything else. That is a tragedy, my brother, if my tongue can speak about anyone and everyone, but my tongue cannot speak about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The pride of a believer is that he can speak about the greatness of Allah. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. The second chapter to be revealed in the Quran is Surah Mudathir. In fact, some tafsir refer to this as the first chapter, because after Surah Iqra was revealed, there was 3-year gap, and then it was followed by Surah Mudathir. And what was the command in Surah Mudathir? Ya ayyuhal Mudathir, qum. O my Habib Sassam, stand. Fa'andhir, and warn. And the ulama say warning in Arabic doesn't mean, there's two difference. You don't call an officer or a police marshal a mundhir in Arabic. Mundhir means where you warn someone coupled with the deep-rooted concern. Not to discharge a duty and an obligation. Listen, I told you, you listen, good luck. You don't listen, tough luck. No, that's not mundhir. Mundhir in Arabic means that I'm going out. Nabi alayhi salam said, مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُكُمْ كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ أَوْقَدَ نَارًا. My example and your example is like a man who kindled a fire. فَجَعَلَ الْجَنَادِبُ وَالْفَرَاشُ يَقَعْنَ فِيهَا. The insects are falling inside, and he's trying to move it and divert it and clear it. وَأَنَا أَخِذٌ بِحُجَزِكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ. And I'm gripping you and I'm saying, come out of this mess, come out of this filth, come out of this impurity. وَأَنْتُمْ تَفْلَتُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ تَفَلَّتُونَ مِنْ يَدِي. And you're slipping out of my hand and you're heading directly towards it. لَا خَيْرَ فِي لَذَّةٍ مِنْ بَعْدِهَا النَّارِ. Oh my young brother, there is no excitement in any pleasure which is followed by Jahannam. There is nothing good about any excitement, any thrill. Imam Shafi said, وَظَمَّةُ الْقَبْرِ تُنْسِي لَيْلَةَ الْعُرْسِ. The first squeeze of the grave will make you forget every romantic embrace of any woman. The first squeeze, you say, you know when she touched me, you know that embrace, you know the coolness, you know the feeling. The first squeeze of the grave, وَظَمَّةُ الْقَبْرِ تُنْسِي لَيْلَةَ الْعُرْسِ, will make you forget your first night in the most exotic location. So Allah told Nabi alayhi salam, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ, and stand up. And speak, and in Arabic they call it taqdeemul maf'ul yufidul hasr. When you bring the maf'ul forward, it gives off a meaning of exclusiveness. Go and speak only of the greatness of your Lord. Wa rabbaka fakabbir wa thiyabaka fatahhir. So what I'm saying is, my brothers, Allah has given us an opportunity like no other opportunity. See, no person or land or location gets selected by us, it gets selected by Allah. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ. مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ. Your Lord creates what He wants, and He chooses, and He selects, and He gives preference to whatever He wants. Allah has given preference to your locality to host the ijtima. What an honor to every one of us in the country as a whole, in the province collectively, and in the town more specifically. Obviously, with a responsibility and an honor comes the great commitment that lies ahead of it. So with this ijtima literally before us, how we can exploit every moment, and every resource. See, Allah says in the Quran regarding those who write and are scribes, وَلَا يَأْبَ كَاتِبٌ أَن يَكْتُبَ كَمَا عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ فَلْيَكْتُبْ. If you can write, then don't deny your ability. Help a man who cannot write. You're traveling, somebody don't know how to furnish a form, help him write. Somebody is asking you, if Allah has given you an ability, my brother, the protection of that ni'mat is in using it for the deen of Allah. You want to protect your health, you want to protect your wealth, put it in the path of Allah, put it in the deen of Allah. In that Allah will preserve it. You are investing it with Allah. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu used to say that مَنْ لَمْ يُوَاسِ النَّاسَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ عَرَّضَ لِلْإِدْبَارِ إِقْبَالَهَا. If you don't offer your health, your wealth, your bounties that Allah gave you to benefit the makhluk of Allah. This ummah was never a selfish ummah. This ummah was designed as a selfless ummah. This ummah only came to help others. From the time this ummah became narrow, restricted and limited, that has been the downfall of this ummah. When Sahaba came and complained, O Nabi of Allah, our food is running short. Nabi SAW didn't say, what's your ingredients? Or which pot you cooking in? AMC, what pot you cooking? No, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَفْتَرِقُونَ. I think you're eating individually. Start eating together. Start eating together. He's not a believer, he's not a believer, he's not a believer. Who? لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارُهُ بَوَائِقَهُ. لَا يَأْمَنُ. He's not a believer that he's hungry, he eats to his belly is full and his neighbor is hungry. Or he's not a believer that his neighbor is not safe from his shenanigans and his evil. This ummah has a collective spirit. In everything that we do it collective. And the opportunity for us to contribute to the ijtima, to help in our time, holidays right here. This is such an opportunity. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam were going with the Sahaba in the campaign of Badr, three alternating a conveyance, Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Miqdad, Nabi alayhi salam. It's the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to now dismount and walk. Sayyidina Ali and Miqdad, O Nabi of Allah, please don't dismount. Just keep on riding. Just keep on riding. Please, we're fine. We're going to walk. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? He said such an amazing thing. He said, Ma antuma bi aqwa minni. To start off, you're not stronger than me. If you can walk, I can. You can walk, I can walk. And number two, I'm not less in need of reward than you are. I'm not less in need of reward than you are. If you need reward, I need reward. Allahu Akbar. The narration of Tabri, the spirit of khidmat, the spirit of serving, the spirit of availing whatever you have. How often it is through the barakat of an ijtima that we have an opportunity to actually invite the guests of Allah home. Otherwise we don't have the opportunity of physically engaging. The Sahaba are out with the Nabi of Allah, it's the time to eat. One Sahabi said, Alayya dhabhuha, I'll slaughter the lamb. The other Sahabi said, Alayya salkhuha, I'll skin the lamb. The third Sahabi said, I will prepare the meal. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? Alayya jam'ul hatab. Okay, then I'll gather the firewood and I'll light the fire. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salatu min Allahi wa taslimat. A man like no other Nabi. A human like no other. Allah makes mention, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we could simplify your task. It's in the 19 Juz. And we could send you many other prophets to reduce your workload. We could send you many other prophets to reduce your workload. وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَبَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ قَرْيَةٍ نَذِيرًا. We can make it very easy. We send one to Taif, one to Makkah, one to Medina. But then, it's mentioned in Bayan al-Quran, that if we distribute the work, the reward gets distributed. And my Habib, we want you to have all the rewards. We want you to have all the reward. So every person till Qiyamah, the reward will go to our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So our Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba themselves physically engaged practically. Now, there are a few tashkils that we need to make, brothers. And Allah reward everybody that have come here and taken out your time and freed yourself and availed yourself. Remember, our get together here is not trivial, it's not insignificant, it doesn't go unrewarded. That's the declaration of the Quran. I often mention this here in the world. You so many times take pride. You buy something for your spouse, for your child. You're traveling with it. You're keeping it in your hand luggage, in your cabin. Anybody gets up, wait, sir, I'll open the cabin. Please, slowly. You're not duty free. I got some precious items. You get to customs, sir. No, no, wait, wait. I'll open it for you. Please, gentle. Why, I bought something precious for my wife, for my child. And you come home. Oh, I don't like this. Anyway, Jazakallah. What? My time, my effort, my health invested only to receive a frown and a scowl and a zero. Wallah, when you make the intention of good, already Allah has accepted it. When you said Allahu Akbar, Allah has accepted it. Allah is not there to reject. Man atani yamshi ataytuhu harwala. Man atani yamshi, you walk, I will leap. Obviously Allah is free from location. But that's the expression of the hadith. To the extent that Nabi alayhi salam said in the hadith, when a man is ecstatic, he's elated, he's overwhelmed, he loses control over his tongue. That's it. You blur things. You don't know what you're saying. The man is traveling in the jungle and he lost his camel and his conveyance. And he came, then he takes shelter. Look at the expression of the joy of Allah. Look at the expression of the joy of Allah. Because when a young man repents to Allah, his sacrifice is much greater. Much greater. There's a poor man who's old and aged, frail and senile. He's sitting at home and he doesn't commit sin. It's a virtue, it's an accolade, it's an achievement. But as a young man, in the prime of his life, he's hale and healthy, he's wealthy, he's got it all going for him, he's got money, he's got wheels, he's got everything. And at that time, he restricts himself. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, under this ayah is mentioned in Ruhul Ma'ani, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. Allah says, we'll test you with prosperity and adversity. بُلِينَا بِالضَّرَّاءِ فَصَبَرْنَا وَبُلِينَا بِالصَّرَّاءِ فَلَمْ نَصْبِرْ. Allah tested us with poverty, adversity. And then Allah tested us with wealth and affluence. The test of youth and wealth is far greater. The test with youth, that is why the reward is much more. The reward is much more. So now who is going to give us commitments, inshallah? The one who's going to make the first commitment, inshallah, whatever he's going to follow thereafter, that is his reward. That is captured for him. So let us keep an atmosphere of togetherness. Let's not disrupt the gathering. Let it culminate in an action. See, brothers, the spirit of the Quran is, we've got to put it into action. I was in a conference in Malaysia recently. One sheikh mentioned a very beautiful thing. He said, you see, brothers, there are two types of people in the world. You get one who's a thermometer and one who's a thermostat. One is a thermometer and one is a thermostat. Today, the whole ummah has become thermometers. What is it? Thermometer will just tell you what's the weather. Thermostat will regulate it, will change it. If it's too cold, we need to make it hot. If it's too hot, we need to make it cold. Just to report on the crime, just to report on the fitna, just to report on the issue, that's not going to help it. You're only giving news. We need to become thermostats where we start regulating the environment. How do we regulate the environment? When we ourselves will make the initiative. We ourselves will stand up and mobilize youth for the right reason. When fitna hits, my brother, it's like weather. When it's cold, then in the house it's cold. The floor is cold, the wall is cold, the tile is cold, the plate is cold. When fitna comes, Nabi alayhi salam said, Amya bakma man ashrafa laha istashrafat lahu. Such fitnas will come that you'll just peep in and it will swallow you in. I was just on the net, I was just browsing, I was just perusing, and they drew me in. Nabi alayhi salam said, you'll peep and it will suck you in. So this is the way through which we can insulate. I wanted to touch on the incident of Nuh alayhi salam, but time is running out. Nuh alayhi salam is on the ark. He's on the ark. He built the ark. He prepared the ark. His son, young boy, Kanaan. Listen, my son, come, man, come. Join us. Join us, please, man. Come, we're going for 3 days, in our terminology. Come help us at the istima. Sacrifice a Saturday night. Leave your friends for one night. Leave your friends for one weekend. Ya bunayyarkam ma'ana. I'm reading the ayah. I cannot convey the compassion of a Nabi. Can you imagine what compassion? A Nabi loved his ummah more than we love our children. So can you imagine how much love he had for his ummah and who is his child? A Nabi loved the ummah. I often say the love Sahaba had for Nabi alayhi salam was more than our combined love for all of our beloveds. And that's not an exaggeration. I don't love my mother, my wife, my children, my siblings, my brothers, my friends together as much as how one Sahabi loved Nabi alayhi salam. Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul, the leader of the Munafiqeen, his son Abdullah was a great Sahabi. O Nabi of Allah, I heard that my dad has caused you a lot of pain, and that's the truth. I'm hearing whispers that you are entertaining the possibility of ending the life of my father. If that is your intention, please depute me and delegate the task to me. So I will take care of my father and I will put an end to him and I will do what would comfort you. And the reason why I say this, O Nabi of Allah, although Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not do this, and that was the kindness of Nabi Alayhi Salaam, I am afraid you will respect my sentiments for my father. The narration is in Hayat al-Sahaba, and the verse also confirms it, لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. You won't give this task to me, you'll pass it on to someone else because it's my father. And that man will carry out your command, becoming beloved in your eyes and despised in my eyes. I don't want to despise someone you love. I don't want to despise. فَلَا تَدَعْنِي نَفْسِي أَنْ أَنْذُرْ إِلَىٰ قَاتِلِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ إِبْنِ أُبَيْ يَمْشِي فِي النَّاسِ. Nabi alayhi salam said, no, بَلْ نَتَرَفَّقُ بِهِ وَنُحْسِنْ صُحْبَتَهُ. When they were coming up from غَزْوَى بَنِ الْمُسْتَلِقِ, and in the غَزْوَى, he made a comment. He said, yeah, we the honorable people, we're going to get rid of all these muhajirin. We need to get him out of here, man. His comments. Sometimes Allah forgive, we get these comments and remarks. So what happened? I'll mention this and then tashkil will start. There was a little argument that happened by the water. So it's known as غزوة بن المستلق. It's known as غزوة المريسيع as well. And there was an argument between one Sahabi and Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. So Abdullah bin Ubay, he was a munafiq. He said, oh, سَمِّنْ كَلْبَكَ يَأْكُلْكَ. You know, that's the Arabic proverb. You feed someone feet, and then when he got teeth, he comes and bites you. So what he was trying to say, that the muhajirin came, we gave them courage and momentum, and now today they're attacking us. And then it became a bit of a squabble between the Sahaba, because Abdullah claimed to be amongst the Ansar. So there was a Sahabi by the name of Jahjah radiallahu anhu and Sinan ibn Wabira. So Jahjah radiallahu anhu said, oh, my Muhajirin friend, come. Sinan radiallahu anhu said, oh, my Ansari friend, come. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what? Am I hearing the slogans of ignorance? Where's tribalism? Where's the city? Ya lal Muhajir, da'uha, fa'innaha da'wal jahiliyyah. These are the slogans of ignorance. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put an end to it. And then Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul made this remark. And he said, we the honorable people, we will drive the muhajirin out. Zayd ibn Arqam was a young boy who wasn't baligh. Zayd ibn Arqam was a young boy who wasn't baligh. He intercepted the words of Abdullah. He bounced it off Nabi alayhi salam. Oh Nabi of Allah, this is what the man is saying. Then Abdullah came and denied. He said, no, I didn't say this. Zayd ibn Arqam said, I was a young boy. I wasn't articulate. Abdullah bin Ubay was articulate. وَإِن يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ. Long story short, Nabi alayhi salam said, let's move, and they travel. When they come on the way, the entire chapter of Munafiqeen is revealed. And in that Allah exposes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, call that young boy. قَدْ صَدَّقَ اللَّهُ حَدِيثَكَ يَا غُلَامُ. Oh, what a young boy you are, my boy. That Allah has verified your sentiments. Allah has confirmed your sentiments in the Quran. So Abdullah bin Ubay says, he made the statement. His son Abdullah radiallahu anhu comes outside Medina, stops his father. He says, if you don't retract your words, you're not going back into Medina. Nabi Sassan comes from the rear, there's a whole commotion. What's happening? O Nabi of Allah, he said that you are downtrodden. I told my father he won't go home till he don't follow his words and say that you are the most honorable person. And Allah revealed the verse. يَقُولُونَ لَئِن رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلْ. So what I'm saying, my brothers, this is the opportunity for us to become thermostats. For us to go out and regulate the environment. For us to change. Allah selected our town. Allah selected our place. Allah selected a time that is suitable for us. Allah gave us this holiday that is here right before us. The time that we can exploit and make maximum of it. Who's going to stand up, inshallah, and take the initiative to make the first commitment? We need a jamaat in December for 4 months, and alhamdulillah, this has been happening year in and year out, and may Allah reward all the brothers. May Allah reward you handsomely. May Allah give you barakah in your health and wealth. Those who started it, the youth that followed, the reward is for all of them. So we need a jamaat to make a commitment of youth, inshallah, with new youth on board. Then we need people to make commitment from tonight. Remember, a body was brought, somebody said, don't lead his janazah salah. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, did any one of you see this man doing good? So someone came forward, he said, oh, Nabi of Allah, remember one day he stood up in the path of Allah and he looked after our belongings. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, رُفَقَاؤُكَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّكَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ وَأَنَا أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Some people are making different remarks, but that one night that you stood and you protected and you stood safe protecting the belongings of those that were in the path of Allah, that has earned you your Jannah. هنالك تبلو كل نفس ما أسلفت. At the time of death you will realize. So stand up and make the commitments inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.